Hey friends, welcome to the Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. Today, we're continuing in our series through the New Testament letter of Philippians, and we're focusing specifically on verses 12 through 18. This is the message that we talked through at LifePoint Worthington this last week. I'm going to share a few thoughts, things we didn't really get to talk about in the message this week. Overall, in Philippians 1, verses 12 through 18, I think the overarching point that Paul is trying to make is that as we begin to make sense of our own suffering, our own hardship, the things that we navigate, the most painful experiences sometimes, Paul invites us to find what I called the gospel lining in that experience. Now, that's a reference to the old line that was made popular by the English poet John Milton, who wrote in his poem, Camus. He talked about the silver line, and what he was referencing was the end of a storm back in that day in the 17th century. A popular way of knowing that the storm was almost over was to be able to look out and see through the darkest clouds, the sun begin to break through the very end. And around the clouds, you would have this silver lining, right? And what that meant was, you know, not that the storm wasn't real, not that you just look on the bright side, but it was a very tangible picture of hope, even in the midst of suffering. And so when I talked about the gospel lining, I was kind of getting at this idea of we look for points of hope through our suffering that actually make the most sense of our suffering. There's three benefits we started to tease out in finding the gospel lining in our own suffering. Paul is able to point specifically to the fact that even though he has been in prison, right, he can now look and say, hey, this imprisonment, though, has actually led to many in the Imperial Guard, many of the jailers becoming followers of Christ, right? So he has found in his suffering, in his hardship, in prison, he's found a gospel lining that God is able to do something somehow in some way in his suffering that is ultimately good. And it's beyond just what Paul experiences. It's bigger than him. It is a good that is bigger than him. I think in a lot of ways, this passage is the New Testament version of the old Joseph story. You might remember this story from Genesis chapter, really starts in chapter 37 and works its way through the rest of the book of Genesis, following Joseph, who is, you know, sold into slavery by his brothers. He's put in prison for a while. And at the very end of his father's life, his brothers come back to him. Joseph, of course, has been placed in a position of prominence. They come back to him, recognize that it's their brother whom they thought was dead this entire time. And in thinking that Joseph is going to take vengeance out on the, or against them, you know, they come up with this elaborate plot. And anyway, at the very end, Joseph speaks to his brothers and he says, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. And I think that is the crux of what Paul is intending to get across here, that what we experience at the hands of others, harm that we experience at the hands of others, what man intends for evil, maybe, or what the enemy intends for evil, God intends for good for his people and is able to bring about good from even the most painful things that we experience. Now, the problem with a message like this is it's kind of ethereal. It's a little pie in the sky. Like, what do you actually do with that? Because it's one thing to like sit back and say, hey, the next time I go through something hard, I can choose to believe this thing. You can choose to believe that God is going to work it out for good. But what happens if, like, right now, this week, you know, some of you may have gotten a diagnosis that you were not at all prepared for. It was not the best case scenario. Maybe something at work has played out and like you're on the verge of losing your job, or you've already lost your job. You try to figure out like what actually is next. And it's a season that really hurts. It's really hard. So what does this actually offer to us? I think in some ways, we have to recognize that making sense of our own suffering, our own hardship, and finding the gospel lining, I don't think it's a snap your fingers and everything makes sense. There's a perfect bow in the end of your story. I don't think there's one, Bible verse that makes it not hard anymore magically. But I also think that what Paul is communicating in Philippians 1, in the larger context of the gospel and following Jesus and being formed by our relationship with Jesus, I think the point he's trying to get across is that really the entirety of the Christian life is practicing the art of seeing God's purpose in life's pain. But the entirety of the Christian life is spent in practicing the art of seeing God's purpose in our own pain. And it takes very intentional time to stop and pause and reflect and walk closely with Jesus through our own hardship, right? Where, I kind of look back at my own story and see seasons where my wife and I have walked through some very, very hard things together. And while we would never want to go through them again, there were very tangible ways that God met us in our suffering. He met us in our pain that I don't think he promised to meet us in other ways. And so friends, I think that when we go through hardship, when we go through suffering, part of us learning the art of recognizing God's purpose in life's pain is to slow down and choose to believe at a moment by moment basis that what God may have intended for evil, or what man may have intended for evil, God is able to work out for good. God intends to bring good out of it. He intends to bring good out of it. Friends, I encourage you to go back, listen to the message if you've got time. We explore so much in this series what joy looks like, even through our hardship, even through our suffering. And I think Paul gets to the most challenging point in this letter here in the beginning, as he begins to tease out this somewhat paradoxical way in which we find joy, which at Worthington we've been defining as pressure-tested happiness, ways that we find joy even through suffering. Thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back next week.